Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For years, I taught confirmation with Dina. Dina is a wonderful soul who was born and raised in India. And so every time she would get up and make an announcement about our confirmation class that we taught together, she would say, "I would like for everyone to be sure to know that we are beginning confirmation next week." And she always pronounced it conformation. And at first I thought, oh, isn't that cute? And then I thought, oh my gosh, she's really describing what we're trying to do, isn't she? So much of what we've done historically within the church is to try and make people conform, to be a certain way in order to be acceptable to God. And so throughout our history, we have designed all kinds of ways of helping people to get through conformation so that we all sound and look alike. Sometimes what we end up with then are churches which are sort of stamping people out that are much the same time after time after time. And in fact, if you are in the church for very long, you will find that every church has a personality. Isn't that true? I worked with a church who had a history of just having sort of the same things happen over and over and over again. And in fact, if you had looked at their council minutes from 1968 and their council minutes from 2008, it would be the same meeting, 40 years apart. One of the members asked, "How can that be? There's a totally different group of people here now than were here 40 years ago. How could we possibly be exactly the same?" Conformation is the answer. People are attracted to communities of faith with which they agree, that sort of fit them. And so we perpetuate year after year, generation after generation, a conforming church. Think about it. When you last shopped for a church, what were you looking for? You were looking, I would guess, for a place where you fit, that felt what? Comfortable. I hear that word all the time. And people will come to me and say, "This church is a comfortable fit." And I always think to myself, just wait. How often when you go and search for a church, do you think to yourself, "I want to find a church that challenges me, that challenges what I believe and what I think. I want to find a church that is transformative. I want to be different when I leave than when I started." Not very often. Change is tough. And yet, when you look at the ministry of Jesus, he is much more interested in transformation than conformation. Transformation. This text, this wonderful text, is one that has been dear to my heart for my whole life. And in fact, every time you fill out mobility forms or something for the church, somewhere along the line they will ask you, what is the text that has been most important to you in your life? I think that's they're checking to see if we read the Bible. And if you looked at my mobility papers for Lutheran Church of Honolulu, you would see this text as that text for me. I grew up in a conforming church in a lot of ways. As crazy as it was still sort of rubber stamping people out and making them in a certain image that was not necessarily the image of God. And as a teenager, I found that really tough to put up with. Because I didn't want to be like those people who went out to Coco's every Sunday, and ordered the same thing after church, and drank the same coffee, and had the same conversation year after year after year. I found myself early in my life in the church to be one of those square pegs that someone was trying to hammer home into a round hole. Jesus calls for transformation, the kind of transformation that happens to Paul on the road to Emmaus, where he was one way and suddenly it opened up for him and he became different. Not perfect, but he was changed. I wanted a church that took seriously the story of Ruth and Naomi, where Ruth's life is transformed by the faithfulness of a daughter-in-law. Those are stories of transformation, not conformation. And so when we read in Paul these words, we are, I hope, moved. When Jesus asks Peter, "Who do people say that I am?" He's not looking for the stock right answer. I mean, you know how it goes. You know when the pastor asks you certain questions, you know what the answer is supposed to be, right? Most of the time. And if you're in confirmation, the answer is almost always, Jesus. Isn't that true? We've got him trained. I mean, honestly, you can ask him, what color is the horse? Jesus! In this story, when Jesus asked Peter, who do people say that I am? And all of the right answers come out. He's got to be a prophet. He's a great man. He's wonderful and so forth. It's only Peter who has the transformative answer. You are the Messiah. The one who will change everything. We cannot be the same after being in your presence. Time and time again, we hear stories of how everything changes in the presence of Jesus with receiving his word of forgiveness and grace and hearing his harsh words sometimes of law. I'm a potter, or at least I was. If you know anything about pottery, you know that there are several kinds, but there's two primary ones. And the first one, those of us who are potters call ceramics. And what that is you have a mold, right? And you mix up your clay kind of soupy, and you pour it into the mold, and you wait a little while, and the moisture leaches out. And when you break open the mold, you have a perfect pot. I never liked that because all that was ever left was painting it, and that was the part I hated. But you could do it. It's beautiful. It's a fine craft. And you can have a perfectly repeatable over and over and over and over and over and over and over. You can make the same pot exactly the same ad infinitum. I think God is up to the other kind of pottery. This kind involves taking a lump of dirt, of clay, plopping it down in the middle of the head of the wheel, and it begins to spin, and it's all over the place, and you place your hands on it, and you press down and in. And over time, you get a real feel for just how much pressure you have to bring it to the center. And it stops fighting, and pretty soon, as you bear down lightly, it forms into the center. And you push your thumbs into it and you bring up the sides and you begin to form it. And you lift up the clay and stretch and shape, and something beautiful comes out of it. And sometimes just as you pull up to the very top edge and you're pressing down with your forefinger to form that beautiful rim, you get that sound. which for me was usually followed by another sound. But when you finish the pot and you lift it off of the head, it is a unique piece of art. You can't make another one exactly the same. And I think that's what God is up to in our community and in the church. To be the body of Christ, as Paul says, to be that church of the Messiah, to be the people of God, is to be that unique expression of God's artistic life in the world, shaped with God's hands and the tools of the cross and the baptismal font and the meal. Beautiful, but not perfect. Finished, but not complete. And it comes out in the way that we answer that question, who do you say I am? Do we understand Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, who transforms the whole world, who gives us the keys to the kingdom, who calls us to live out our vocation as teachers and preachers, exhorters, beautiful works of art, not stamped out one after another, conformed to the ways of the world or to a vision of ministry, but transformed in our minds in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that we will always be the latter. God's art in the world for the sake of the world. Amen.